And he goes back to the same list. Let me just identify a number of those things in that list. This is verses 5 through 8. Notice what he said to the servants, and now to the masters, do ye the same things unto them. He says, do it with fear. Okay. And trembling. Now, why would an employer want to lead his employees or her employees with fear and trembling? Is it because he's not or she's not competent in what they do? They don't really know what they're doing. Or they don't know how to work with individuals? Is that what he's talking about here? No. You see, from the context, because you saw it at the last, he says, your master also is in heaven. Now, remember the first part of the verse? He says, and ye masters. But now he's approaching, that's in the plural, ye masters. Okay? But then he refers to the master. Literally, he says, your master. So when he is starting the list off again, only from the perspective of those who are in leadership, whether it's a ministry or you're working for Volvo or you're working for Caterpillar or you're the widgets manager at the manufacturing plant, whatever it is, and you have those under you, he is saying, wait a minute, when you're thinking about how you treat your employees, do it with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean that you come up, let's say that I am employing Brother Jesse and I just don't know how to do this, and I'm not sure how he's going to take it. But I that's not what he's talking about. He is saying that the way I approach an employee is to be reminded before I am in his setting, so that I'm creating the setting from the employer to the employee. I need to be reminded that as I'm approaching him to create that setting, I am already in a setting. Because the setting I'm already in is to my master. And so the fear and trembling is not because of the awesomeness or the meanness or the cruelty or whatever he may be, or lazy or anything else. No, I need to be reminded that I have an accountability to my master, so that if I, in his presence, am not creating a setting of righteousness, how to do his job well as unto the Lord, if it's in a secular setting, to do his job well for those who to whom he's responsible, and I'm responsible, if I'm not creating that kind of a setting with a righteous attitude and with a righteous ambition and with a righteous direction, then I'm going to be belligerent, or I'm going to get aggravated, and I'm just going to give him what to as far as, you know, what I think of what he's doing. Now, does that mean we don't correct problems? No, obviously not. No. Did the Lord ever correct any problems here on this earth with his disciples? Yeah. Think about Peter, all right? All right? Peter and I have a lot in common, and not in the best of ways, all right? Think about Thomas. Wow. Here's the Lord resurrected. And we could go into a lot of illustrations, but when he dealt with Peter, when he dealt with Thomas, he dealt with him gently. He said, okay, Thomas, here, feel my side. He didn't rake him over the coals, okay? Now, he needed to be corrected, yes. Peter needed to be corrected. And how was he corrected? As the Lord was being tried, he just looked over, and there's a clear path between Peter's eyes and his eyes. And that's all that was necessary. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. So what are you saying here, masters, employers? Yes, you may have to deal with problems. If you have an employee that's stolen, or if you have an employee that has to have a light put under him, you know, a firecracker or dynamite put under him to get him to move, you may have to encourage him in that fashion. But there's a righteous way and an unrighteous way to do it. And that being, because you're creating a setting of righteousness before God and an accountability before God. Well, he doesn't stop there. Let's look at number 3. It says, in singleness of your heart. In singleness of your heart. So in other words, there's a total commitment. So if Brother Jesse is my employer and I'm his employee, then what God's requiring is that when he comes to me, there doesn't need to be a, okay, what can I get out of this? Or how am I going to maneuver him and manipulate him, that Bray guy, to where I get what I want out of him without him even knowing I'm doing it? Okay? That doesn't mean you're not wise in how you go about it, or according to knowledge or understanding. But this person, you talk to one person, and all they need is, hey, let's get a little bit more with the job, okay? Oh, I'm so sorry. And there, others, you can give them 2 hours of lecture and quote 400 scriptures, and still going to be like a block sitting on the ground, all right? So the point I'm trying to make is that, let's say I'm the employee, he's the employer. He has to have a singleness of heart. A singleness, number one, because of his master in heaven, yes, the accountability. But also the singleness of, all right, what is the best way that I can do this to the glory of God and for the well-being of our business so that God is glorified in the way we conduct our business? Lord, this man has an attitude problem, or this lady has a motivational problem. Whatever the problem is, you go after the problem, but you do it with singleness of heart, and that is not, I am really ticked off. I'm going to let them have it. They need it. They need to hear it from somebody. Well, they may need to hear the correction, but they don't need to hear what violates the singleness of heart, that whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do because they really irritate you. And they deserve it. No. Why don't you say it with me? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, say it with me. Do all to the what? Glory of God. Wonderful. You do all to the glory of God. And that's what we're talking about here. We could put 4, 5, and 6 in a grouping together, and it's talking about motivation. Okay? Notice what it says. As unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. Now, that's not always easy to do. In employment situations, sometimes it's in a difficult setting. It just is. There's no way around it. Maybe someone is cooking the books. Maybe your employer wants you to cook the books. Do you know what I mean by cook the books? It has the idea that, well, the IRS is going to look at this and, if we show that we have this income, or if I'm a truck driver and I'm only allowed to drive, 10 hours a day? Is it that? Is it how many? 10 or 11? Okay. So if I'm driving an 18-wheeler and I'm going to get stopped, you know, I get stopped by the highway patrol, or they have those that's what they do. They're out there looking for truckers and they pull them over, they have a portable scale, they weigh their truck, and then they look at their logs to see how many hours they've been driving. Unfortunately, now I don't know if they can still do it or not, but for many, many years, a lot of truckers would keep 2 sets of books. They would keep a set of books that, yeah, I spent the night last night in Albuquerque, and I'm 200 miles away from there, and I had a good night's rest, and I'm good, and the officer looks at this, well, yeah, it looks like that's what you did. Okay, be safe, have a good trip. When the truth is, they had to make it to where they had to get, and they drove for 14 hours. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on time with their load, or they wouldn't get the extra pay because of being early. Okay, that's what we're talking about here, is as unto Christ. Secondly, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers. Understanding that very first one, with fear and trembling, that first category, with fear and trembling. Understanding your accountability before God. And then the third one there is, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God. And then he says how it's to be done. And this is actually number 8 in a series of 11. He says, from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as unto the Lord. Someone wrote some time ago, I want to be used of God some way every day. They actually wrote a song about it, and I don't remember the song now, but I want to be used of God some way every day, and I can't remember the rest of it. But that's the idea here, is there is a way for me to be used of God some way every day. It may be if I'm a quadriplegic, and I don't have the ability, maybe I don't have the mobility to get out in an electric chair and going around and doing the thing. I don't guess they call them electric chairs. That doesn't have a good connotation to it, does it? a mobile chair or something. I don't know what they're called. But nonetheless, you've got the idea where my son's pastor in Tennessee is a quadriplegic. And he's a pastor of a church, a good-sized church. They run, I don't know, 400 or 500. I guess that's about what they run. But he has a ramp that goes up. The pulpit is a regular pulpit. And his associate does the announcements, and the song director leads the music and all of that. But then when it comes time for the sermon, the pastor is right over here in his wheelchair. And there's a button, I guess, on the pulpit. And they push a button and the pulpit goes down to his height so that he is able to preach behind the pulpit. He is an excellent preacher. Just a really, really good man. Loves the Lord. He's not letting that handicap keep him from being used of God. Was in a terrible, terrible car wreck many, many years ago. So the point I'm trying to make here is that when you sum all of this up, if you have a heart for God and you're in the position of employing one individual or thousands, the more challenging it becomes. But nonetheless, there's a way to do it. To where when you get to heaven and the Lord says, I'm pleased. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And some will have had 5 talents. Some will have had 10 talents. Some started out with 5 talents, and because they were wise, this is Brayology here, but I believe it's based on Scripture, because they used the talents God gave them. And maybe they didn't even recognize it as a talent. They just found an open opportunity to be used of the Lord. And so, well, you know what? I think I could do that. Yes, I can do that. Not recognizing that God gave them that talent, but they go ahead and do it anyway. And God sees their accountability was just right. Their willingness to be used of God some way every day was just right. And they got in the right setting, and this is the 5th of the 5 talents God gave them. And God said, talent 1 was used wisely. Talent 2 was used wisely. 3, 4, and now 5 was used wisely. And for my glory, there's another talent. There's another talent. There's another talent. You remember what happened to the unjust steward? His talent was taken away and was given to the one who had the 10 talents. So my point is this, that when we have the opportunity of being the ones who have leadership over others, I spoke to the choir tonight. They may have considered it a lecture, but I just spoke to them, all right? But I told them that they're leaders, not to manipulate their emotions and make their feel-gooder feel better, but to help them to realize when they stand and they sing for the glory of God, that there's going to be others who come in, especially as the Lord allows us to reach folks. And maybe they're new in the family of God. And they see someone singing in the choir, and they may think, boy, she must be like an angel from the Lord. I mean, she probably doesn't do anything ever wrong at all. And he must be a champion for God. And we all know that our feet are made of clay as well, especially the one speaking to you now. But when maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, maybe you work in the nursery, you have a position. By the way, everyone in this auditorium tonight, and those who could be here but can't, and those who should be here and aren't, but the truth of the matter is, every one of us who know the Lord as our Savior, we need to be involved in the work of God. Amen or no? Yeah, amen. In some way or other, and not saying, well, I'm not good enough. Do you not realize that's the back door to pride? It is. When we say, I'm not talented, and I'm not, and I'm not, and I'm not, it's really saying, in a reverse kind of a way, it's saying, well, you know, I don't have to do that because I'm not good enough. Rather than saying it in humility, I'm not good enough, so I can't really do anything much for the Lord. No, if the Lord can take the stones and make them cry out for His glory, if He can speak to an old wayward prophet through a donkey, He can use any of us. It's the only hope that I have. I've said that before, and I mean that. So the point is that when we say, Lord, I want to be used of You, then maybe you're not in a position of leadership. Then whatever position you're in, maybe you're the servant, maybe you're the employee. But be the best employee in that place that anyone possibly could be. Be on time. Be diligent. If your job's to sweep the floor, don't just kind of do it halfway. Do it all the way. Do it as unto the Lord and say, Lord, are you happy with the way? And I'm not being facetious here. I'm not being silly. If there's a way to sweep and to get next to the edges, and you're doing it for hire, so you're being paid to do that, then do it as unto the Lord. Would the Lord skip the corner and say, it doesn't really matter? No. If his was to do right, he would do it well. If his was job to do, he would do it well. So all of that to say this, whether we're talking about servants, employees, or whether we're talking about masters, employers, we really have the same responsibilities with one exception. Notice, if you will, with me, please, with just one exception. And that is in the same verse, verse number 9. He says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing one another. Now, there we go. Forbearing one another. And I'm trying to find my notes on the forbearing there. There we go. Forbearing. Forbearing means to leave off, unbinding, neglecting, threatening. Has the idea of harshness of language to threaten. So here's what he says. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. So in other words, he doesn't give that responsibility to the employees, but he's saying to the employers, whether over one or many, do all these other things, but understand that sometimes in your responsibility as an employer, you're required to exercise patience. You're to exercise self-control. Does an individual make you want to lose it? Absolutely. Okay? I don't have many employees now, so to speak, but I've had a number in the past. And there's some folks that have got talent coming out of their ears. They've got it coming out of their shoelaces. I mean, they just are talented more than I can begin to understand. Intellect. Just different things that just, hey. And yet, they just are lazy, or they're cocky, they're arrogant, they are, and it is true, they are smart, and they are talented, and they are popular, or they are, but your job as the employer or the manager is to create a setting where when they fulfill that setting, whether they're saved or not, because of your leadership, this program, this position, I could take it to the Lord. And that's why he says, in Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Whatsoever things are honest. The word honest has the idea of awe, a reverential awe in it. So when God thinks about the setting I've created as an employer, and I am to do good to those who work for me, the Bible says, when it's in my hand to do it. And when something needs to be corrected, I go about it in a Christ-like way. And yes, I may have to be stern. And yes, I may have to dismiss that individual because they refuse to change. They refuse to do what the job requires. But I remember, wait a minute, God's telling me to hold my attitude in check. Yes, I'm going to have the emotion that wants to just let them have it. Because they're adding a lot to my workload. And maybe they're adding a lot to some others' workload who are already doing more because they're conscientious and they're doing their job and then some. And now somebody else has learned, all I have to do is not do my job and somebody else is going to do it because they know it's got to be done. And so I can go home and not have to worry about it. They just work a little extra. Do they get paid for it? I don't know. It doesn't matter to me as long as I don't have to do it. Then there are ways that you can go about doing that without being so upset. And you can be upset, righteous anger, nothing wrong with that. But when righteous anger has burrs attached to it and a little extra zip added to it, and we just are, okay, we're just going to clean house here, and we're going to, and that individual knows you're a Christian. Now, they couldn't argue with the facts that you're not doing your job. You've not done your job. As a matter of fact, I have a journal here that I've kept now because this is kind of the way it's been for a while, so I started keeping a journal. of the times that you came in late, or at the times when you received a little gizmos to put a thingamajig into, and I know for a fact that you received 100 gizmos. Because we started missing some gizmos down the line. And we worked our way back the line, and we have found, and so I had it documented before that came to you, there were 100 of them. As soon as it was passed from you to the next individual, there was only 98. When you give the facts, they should not be able to argue with the facts. Nor should they be able to argue with the demeanor in which it's done. They very likely know that you're a Christian. They very likely, even if they're saved or not saved. And we can lose our testimony by accomplishing the right thing. We can lose Christ's testimony before them by doing the right thing. So there's a right way to go about doing the right thing as an employer and as an employee. Okay? All right. I believe that's what the text has for us as he goes into this. Because he's finished with the family. We haven't gotten to it yet. But he finished with the family. And then he went with slaves or employees. And then he went with masters or employers. All right. Did this make halfway sense? I hope it did. I hope it did. And some of you say, I will never be in a position of leadership. I wouldn't count on that. Wouldn't count on that. Because if you are a faithful employee, you're going to find that those who have learned well how to obey, those who've learned well how to be a diligent employee and were faithful at what they did, they didn't have to have a taskmaster over the top of them. Those are few and far between in this world. I've talked to a lot of employers in the ministry, pastors and school administrators and others, and I've been one. And it is difficult, even among Christians, to get folks who will really work as unto the Lord. They'll do a half job, and they'll smile, and they'll be a nice individual, and you'll love them, and they'll love you, but they still are not going to work like they should. So there's a godly way about getting them to the place where the Lord's pleased with them and with you too. And that's our job in being an employer. If they refuse to do that, then that's between that individual and the Lord. We have to have them leave that environment, if it comes to that, with them being able to say, well, did you do what you were supposed to? Well, no, but. Well, did they lose their temper at you and let you have it? Well, no, but. And they're hip-hopping around, but your testimony is sterling. And that's where somebody else who loves them can have that divine appointment that you're never going to know about. And they're going to say, you knothead, as a loved one can say, do you not realize what a dinghead you are? This person treated you well. They paid you well. They worked with you for 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years. And you're still lazy. We told you that when you were a junior hire. And you're still that way. And you claim to be a Christian. You may not get your job back, but you need to go back to that employer and apologize for the way that you didn't perform what you should have. Now, I'm certain this is not the case, but I'm going to say it anyway. There may be someone here tonight or listening live stream, watching live stream. And maybe you went, ouch. Ouch. Ouch, my toes just got stepped on. Yeah, I left in a huff. Yeah, I felt like they weren't fair. But in retrospect, I didn't do my job right. In retrospect, I caused somebody else to have to do my work, whether it was my boss or another employee or I walked around with a chip on my shoulder just waiting for somebody to come along and say something that would knock that chip off and I could give them a word. And when I got in trouble, I said, well, they started it. I just told them what the facts were. You know, I told them how the cow ate the cabbage, so to speak. And that didn't reflect Christ at all. That was more like man pleasers instead of pleasing Christ. I better do something about that. Preacher was 10 years ago. Okay. Is the business still there? Is the boss still there? Is the loved one still there? Is the parent still there? My opinion, it's time to get it right. Preacher, you're kidding. I've got to go back 12 years. I think it's a Bible principle. And if you will humble yourself and do that, doesn't mean you're going to go ask for the job back. It just means you need to straighten out Christ's testimony in that setting. And if you'll do that, you will be amazed at what God can do. What God can do. I've had people come back to me that I've had to do some things. And I have some that have just gone on and never heard from them again. But I've had others to come back. And I've had others whose children have come back to me years later who were defensive for a parent. And they've come back years later and apologized. There is no need for that. But they apologized and said, I was holding it against you because of whatever it was. But now as an adult, I can see. I knew everything that you did to try to turn. And I shouldn't be using this illustration, but I see everything that you did to try to. And you dealt with it for a long time before you couldn't deal with it anymore. I've had that happen more than once. And I shouldn't be using myself as an illustration there, but I've experienced it, and I can tell you what it means to the guy that I'm the guy he came to. I went, hallelujah! You know? Whoa, praise the Lord. The point I'm trying to make is that person was watching the other person. The other person didn't change. But God was working in the heart of the one who was watching. And to this day, it's been used of the Lord in that person's heart and life. That's how important it is that we make certain that the settings that we create for others and the settings we create for ourselves are in the fear of the Lord. Not in a cowering in a corner kind of a fear, but in an awesomeness of a fear that says, I serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's my Heavenly Father. As somebody gave testimony, it's all, as Mary did, he's all around me. And someone else said, he's faithful all the time. That's the way we're to conduct our business. And I hope that makes sense. I hope it does. And if something was said tonight that just, boop, something comes up that fast, boom, right there. Then assume that's the Holy Spirit, because I don't know a thing about it. I don't, as far as I know, that's doesn't apply to anyone here. And yet, it could. And so in that possibility, I put it out, that if the Holy Spirit reminds you of something with a parent or with whomever, do your best to get to them. To be honest with you, here's what I've had to do with somebody that was already in heaven. And I realized, I blew that. I really did. I didn't recognize. I blew that. I don't know if the Lord did it. But I just went to the Lord and said, Lord, that person's in heaven. Would you send an angel or someone over to just tell them that I'm so sorry? I didn't have the work ethic that I should have had or whatever the subject was. And I believe the Lord will be pleased with that. All right. All right. Well, with that in mind, here's what we're going to do. Let's look at verse 11. If you'll look with me, please. I have a handout I was going to give tonight, but I think I'm going to hold off on that. What we're going to do, we're down to about the last 6 minutes or so, if I let you out right on the nose, and I'm doing that to create a setting where you'll like me better. All right, but I'm teasing, of course. But verse number 11 starts really, it takes in the rest of the chapter, and so it's really one grouping of Bible principles. So let's just look at it, let's just read it, and I'll make very few comments afterwards, and then we will bring the service to a conclusion. But this is dealing with spiritual warfare. Remember what Romans 7 says? I see then that there's a law that when I would do good, what is present with me? Okay, let's give it a second stanza on that. Because it's really, really, really important. Every single time, the Bible says there's a law, like the law of gravity. If I jump off the top of this building and I say, all right, law of gravity, how many times is it going to be work? Oh, I probably work maybe 75% of the time. So I just got to pick out the right 25% of the time that I can jump off the roof and I'm not going to get hurt. And so I go up there and I jump off the roof thinking it's, oh, this is probably number 47. I'm going to skip over 46 of them. Probably 47 sounds like a good number out of 100. Yeah, 25. Yeah, I can do this. And I jump off the roof. Guess what's going to happen? You know, that's right. Fast fall and a sudden stop, and I'm going to regret it. All right. So the point I'm trying to make is this, that the Bible says when I would do good, I want to be the right kind of a husband. Evil is present with me. Not talking about my wife, but it's talking about my ambition to be the right kind of a husband. Okay? There's going to be a counter thought. Well, what about her? She's not all that perfect, even though she is. But if she really understood, or if in other words, every single time I say I want to be the right kind of pastor to Miss Shelley or to Brother Nels, when I would do good, the word would there means to consider a matter and arrive at a conclusion. It's not a helping verb. It's an active verb. It means to arrive at a to consider a matter and arrive at a conclusion. Doesn't even say I did it. It just says when I would do it. You're considering it. You arrive at a conclusion. I want to be the pastor to Nels and Miss Shelley that God wants me to be. And by the way, that is my ambition. All right? So when I would do good, evil is present with me. There's going to be a counter thought. Yeah, they'll really think well of you. Oh, yeah, I like that. I like it when they like me. Yes, I do. Okay. If I fall into that, I've been lifted up in pride, right? When I would do good, evil is present with me. It may be that, or it may be the fact Nels is over 5'6" tall. Well, la-di-da-da to him too. All right. And so I get jealous because he didn't quit growing, you know, and we all know that 5'6" is the perfect height, all right? So I get aggravated at him because he's 5 or 6 foot, whatever, all right? So, and that's being silly, but the point I'm trying to make is this. When I would do good, I want to be the pastor to Nels and Michelle that God wants me to be. If I know my heart, I really want that. And for Miss Annie, and for each one of you, I want to be that. Well, I have to be aware that every time I start to do that and I just want to do that, there's going to be a counter thought. There's going to be something else that's going to enter into that setting of my thoughts or my actions to where it's going to try to allure me away from that position or intimidate me away from that position. And if I'm not on guard, I will give in to it. That's what this chapter is about. It's spiritual warfare, and it is hand-to-hand combat. But it's not the kind of thing that you're not capable of through Christ, nor am I. So let's do this. If you'll join me in standing, please, with your Bibles open. And since the fellows are a little on the odd side, the fellows, let's read the odd-numbered verses. The fairer of the genders among us, the ladies, since they're sweet and even-keeled, let's just say sweet, all right? No, I'm teasing, all right? Then we'll ask our ladies to read the even-numbered verses. So this is Ephesians chapter 6. Folks at home, I hope you'll do the same thing. Gentlemen, ladies, if you'll read the odd-numbered and the even-numbered verses so that we get them all in, and we'll finish with verse number 24. So gentlemen, we're going to start with verse 11, and then we'll alternate according to male, female, and that kind of a thing, all right? All right, so gentlemen, we'll start it, and it reads, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychius, a beloved brother, faithful in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Peace be to you, brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, we will be starting that, Lord willing, next Sunday night. So here's what I am going to do. I believe I have enough for everyone. It's a good crowd tonight. I believe I have enough for everyone here. So when you go out the back door, let's see, do I have a couple of ushers or someone who could help me? Just stand, Brother Jesse, and maybe Brother Allen. If you'll just have one of these, and I'll just explain it briefly. And if you want to look at it between now and next Sunday night, you're welcome to. If you don't want to, just put it in your Bible, and that way you'll have it when we get started next Sunday night. All right, now, if you want to just stay at the back, brother, or if you want to go ahead and dismiss or pass them out, that's fine too. Either way. All right. There you go. All right, while they're doing this, I do have a very important announcement. And so that is this, that today, I understand, is National Ice Cream Day. All right? And so we believe in being spiritual here. And so we want to, or patriotic, not spiritual, patriotic. All right, there we go. And for those who would like to, there is a creamery. If you turn out of the parking lot and you just go to it's Mills River, I think there at the traffic light, it's a Celtic. Is that what it's called? Celtic Creamery, and it is really, really good. And so I think my wife and I and whoever else wants to go, I think they have banana splits and some things like that. And I understand that they're just, as a matter of fact, we were there the other day, and my goodness, they have some wonderful ice cream. So it's toasty in here, and it'll be good to have some good old-fashioned ice cream that maybe isn't old-fashioned, but it's very good. All right, so if you'll look at this briefly, and I'll just tell you the three categories. The first setting is proposed accountability perspective. So you'll see that. Don't worry about that tonight. Look at setting number two, the victorious battle perspective. All right? And if you'll look at the attributes of the godly home or the godly life that's on the left, there's joy, peace, trust, love. Those are just a few godly attributes. If you look to the far right, there's attacks for compromise. There's traumas, and there's crises, there's different things there. I'm having trouble with my eyes right at the moment reading it. But just a number of different things. But in between, there's a barrier. Okay? And we'll discuss that next time as we look at these scriptures. But you'll notice what is up underneath that. And there's all kinds of scriptures. And so just take note of that. And then look at the last section, number three. Setting number three is the besieged. Besieged just means it's got something coming after it. It's besieged. Faith perspective. All right? So on the left, the attributes of the compromised faith. On the far right, attacks for potential compromise. So it's temptation. And we know that there's not a single temptation that we have to fall for. But if you'll see that in the barrier, some of these temptations have made their way through. That's what Ephesians 6 is all about. This last section is being able to see. And you'll notice on section 2, setting 2, you'll see the area where the compromise, the attacks for compromise, you'll see the arrow, instead of being able to go through the barrier, it's ricocheted off of it. Okay? That's what Ephesians chapter 6 is all about. Okay? It's all about that. And we'll look at that, Lord willing, next time. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. And I hope that it's been a blessing. I hope it's been a help. Ensemble, thank you. How many of you enjoyed the ensemble tonight? Say a hearty amen. 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 And we had one or two new ones tonight. We'll not mention any names because we don't want Larry to get upset. But wasn't that good? We had another bass voice in there. And that was really good. And so, Lord willing, what we're going to try to do, I told the choir tonight, we're going to try to put together all kinds of trios, duets, quartets, quintets, ninetets, or whatever, I don't know. But all kinds of different groups over the years to come. So we need as many folks as are willing and pray about being in the choir. And you really need to be in the choir to do that so that we can keep the music all going in a same direction. But praise the Lord. Thank you for being willing to do that tonight. It blessed us all. I was sat down here and I was blessed by it. Wasn't it good this morning with the young ladies? That was a blessing. And of course, with the preaching of the word. Well, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And again, if you want to go have some ice cream fellowship, go and turn left out of the parking lot, and you just go, about how far is it to?
7th Avenue.
What is it?
It's on 7th Avenue. 7th
Avenue. Yes. So when you get to that intersection, don't turn at the intersection.
Not the one in Mills River. It's on 7th Avenue.
Yeah, it's
you're
a different.
You're right.
If you want
that's
the
Mills River Creamery.
Oh, it's Mills River Creamery.
That's where you were going.
Oh, you want to go to Mills River Creamery. All right. Which is better? Okay. All right. We'll do the... Oh, they're both that way? Okay. All right. So I'll have to find where the other one... It's on what? 7th Avenue?
We went to it, honey.
Oh, we did. I remember it well. All right. That's the one that has the lights on it outside. Is that right? Okay, all right. We may not know a lot, but we know our ice cream places. Amen. All right. Good to have you with us tonight. Thank you for being here. And we'll meet at one of the other ice cream places. But no, we'll go to the Celtic, and we'll just have a good time of fellowship. Thank you for being here. Sister Curtin's brother, and I've forgotten your name, sir.
James.
All right, James, good to have you with us, sir. If you're glad he's here, say amen. And for those who've been ill and are back with us, we are so glad you are. So glad you are. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, tonight, many of these principles, most of us know a good bit of it, if not all of it. And yet, Father, you put it in the word so we would rehearse it, so we would think it through and really use it as a checklist to see how I'm doing on that. So I pray that we've objectively looked at it tonight, each one of us as individuals, and say, how am I doing with that as far as an employee or as an employer or as a soldier for Christ? So, Lord, I pray indeed we'll do that. We love you. We ask your blessing until the next time we meet, whether in a few minutes or another day or two. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.